For the record, I want to report in closed session, the board voted on two items, the evaluation of the interim general manager, which we determined to forward to the ED and to the chair of the PMB personnel committee. And we voted on a pool of candidates for the general manager position, which will be forwarded to the ED. Okay.
Can I say a little something brief?
Yeah?
It's kind of related to that, I think.
Well, we can't. Okay.
It's not nothing that.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was just curious if when we report that the LSP voted, is there a way that we could put like 11 to 9?
Sure.
That'd be great. Because I remember Andrea's comment earlier that she felt like, not you, or not this Andrea, but Andrea Bridget.
Yeah, when I write up the cover letter for both those actions, I will put the actual vote in, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So now we're back on the agenda, and we're at the point of the treasurer's report, which came in writing. It's been passed out. If any of you have any, I urge you all to read it, and if you have any questions about it, you can ask Barbara, but maybe outside of the meeting. How about that? Okay. We're up to committee reports. PMB, Dan, you want to start?
Sure. It's hard to report on the Pacifica National Board meeting in Los Angeles last weekend without betraying a sense of frustration. And I will try to keep the tone constructive. We met for 4 days. People came from all over the country. The meetings were long. It seemed like, and I could be corrected, that the majority of the time was spent in closed session. And my summary of it is that we did not accomplish very much. In fact, we accomplished very little. And let me be a little more explicit. The first day of the meeting, which was Friday, was spent mostly with Pacifica's auditor, Ross Wisdom, and his staff. The audit for the previous year is not yet complete. He discussed his tentative findings with us. I think what I can say, which was reported in open session, is that he is still considering describing Pacifica as an institution of which there is growing concern, meaning the issue is whether Pacifica will be and can be financially viable or whether it faces problems such as bankruptcy or dissolution because of an inability to pay its debts. You know, the good news there is that our annual budget deficit is going down. The bad news is that it's still a deficit. For the previous fiscal year, it looks like the deficit is about $400,000. The year before that, it was $2 million, so that's better. And the year before that, it was about $1.7 million. But the last 3 years have been bad. And there is, as I say, going concern qualification that may or may not be, but I imagine will probably be in Wisdom's final report. You know, the other side of that, which I do want to report on, is that the board has had a very active committee working on attempting to resolve the fiscal crisis and to present a plan. One of my major frustrations of the weekend is that there was no in-depth discussion of that plan by the board. There was a receipt of drafts of the plan, but in terms of turning that plan into concrete actions for increasing revenue over the next period of time, it's sadly lacking. And it was certainly my hope going into the meeting that that would be a major focus, is what are we going to do? Another major item on the agenda, which was closed session conversation only, had to do with the evaluations of the executive director and the CFO. Again, those conversations are secret at this point in the sense that there's nothing to report out, but I think it would be, I'm sure it's not a violation of any form of confidentiality for me to report, is that they're not complete. Those evaluations are not complete, and no action was taken on them, although indications were given to both of the senior officers of the foundation that their employment will be continued through the end of this year anyway, and which coincides with contractual commitments. The one or two items, which surprisingly enough, and again, I think, I confess to frustration, which consumed a substantial amount of closed session time and did result in decisions, was the decision by a majority of those voting, that is a vote of 9-6, to appeal.
10-6,
all right. There's conflict about that. 10-6 or 9-6. A decision was made to appeal the injunction which was issued in the Bernstein versus Pacifica lawsuit. And that apparently will go forward absent some reconsideration. Obviously, that's a cost item, and some of us who are involved in that case pointed out that the appeal would be moot since the case involves who sat on the Pacifica National Board in 2011, and we've now elected our delegates for 2012, and there seems to be widespread acceptance of the fact that appealing the case will have no practical impact in the world except perhaps to increase Pacifica's legal costs. The other matter, which also took a lot of time and a lot of controversy, had to do with the recall election for Tracy Rosenberg. I don't bother to go through any of the details of that, but what was reported out was that Summer Reese was again given the authority to find some organization or individual with whom Pacifica would contract to conduct the recall election. And perhaps it will happen before the LSB election this year, perhaps it won't, but it's in the future. The in open session on Saturday, there was considerable time spent with interesting conversations about what's happening at KPFK and also at the Pacifica Radio Archives. I think the presentations that were given by staff in both situations were pretty pretty positive. I mean, I think that as a board member, I was impressed to hear that both organizations seem to be moving forward in a positive direction. The one of the negative points, though, is that there's a quite an unusually large, at least in my opinion, representation of listener subscribers, listener members from the KPFK listening area who showed up during open session and commented. And the biggest negative concern appears to be that has to do with whether KPFK was complying with the mandate for Spanish language broadcasting, and people expressed, who came to the meeting expressed a lot of dissatisfaction with that effort. The policy that was adopted is 5 hours. Not a week. Is that a day? How much? Okay. And so I believe Tracy's correct that it applies to all stations. There's a general lack of compliance. There appears to be most concern expressed about that at KPFK, in part because, as people point out, that probably the largest single block in the KPFK listening area consists of Spanish-speaking people. And there's an argument made, which I can't evaluate, but seems to hold some water that, as compared with other segments of the listening public, Spanish-speaking people tend to spend more time on the radio than perhaps members of other ethnic or racial groups. And again, that's a long conversation. But that seems to have been a rather strong concern that was expressed by people from the KPFK area. Like here, there's conversation about non-terrestrial radio transmissions and broadcasts, meaning, you know, all the different types of technology and internet-based ways in which we can communicate with our listeners and potential listeners. You know, the good point there, and it's only good because it's better than what we've had recently, is that Ali Lexa was elected to the PNB from KPFK, and he is pretty expert and pretty strong about advocacy in this area. So it may well be that at least the board will pay attention to this issue as we go forward. And just as a kind of historical footnote, a few years ago, David Adelson from L.A. and Rob Robinson from Washington sat on the board and really became experts on this topic and did a lot of work in terms of leading a task force and gathering information and making proposals to the board. And those all kind of got lost in the transition from Greg Guma to me to Nicole Sawaya, back to me to Nicole Sawaya to Arlene, and Rob and David leaving the board. So it's kind of like this institutional activity got lost. Maybe it will be picked up again. That's pretty much it. I'm sure there are other things to report. I did miss the Monday part of the meeting because I was doing a trial in L.A. and could not simply absent myself from it.
Well, I can tell you what happened on Monday. There was a closed-door session, and then two items were reported out. I'm going to ask the other members of the PMB. That's fine. I'm going to call on everybody. Okay. Laura, do you have anything to add?
I can tell you what happened on Monday.
Okay, go ahead.
We had a confidential report from the CFO, I mean, from the ED. We reported out most of the things that we heard from Dan. We had a vote on the how to form committees, and there's a contradiction actually in the bylaws. In the past, they've always voted for people to be on committees, and there was, you know, one slot for a director from each station area. But at the beginning of the paragraph in the bylaws, it says that each committee should have at least one director from each station area. Later on, it describes how to vote for those directors to be on committees. So it doesn't really make sense. So someone pointed that out, and we voted to allow just exactly what the bylaw says in the first sentence, is to have at least one member populate from each station area, populate the committee. So at least one could possibly mean more. And that was voted, and it's a very controversial vote. It may be voted down again in our next meeting, but it was voted to do that for the future, at least, you know, that day. I think that's the only other thing that happened.
Thank you. Andrea, did you want to add anything?
To be voted up, but also, yeah, that the lawyer would come back with the...
We did get a ruling for the lawyer. I don't know if that's confidential. Our counsel said that that's pretty much the case, that there's a contradiction in the bylaws, but it does say at least one, so that means at least one. And that could be more than one.
Yeah, the meeting was held at Hotel Angelino, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, in Los Angeles. It's a non-union hotel, which we will rectify that for the next session. A lot of us were really uncomfortable about that, and so I thank the listeners who voted for us to be there. Thank you very much. We did make that a note, you know, to say that we must be conscious of that because it is important, and some people don't respect unions, but I do. And so we are really trying to be conscious about that. Committee, I think other areas were taken care of. A lot happened in closed session, and I'm sorry to say that happened, and we're not allowed to, report out until we're allowed to report out. Right. And that's pretty sad because we spent a lot of monies at this particular hotel, and I want us to be conscious of that. And it's very sad that we still have groups and wanting to continue to increase paying out monies for lawsuits and things like that, and it's sad. The network is trying to come together, but what I'm most proud about was the archives report, and that the archives is really moving ahead. That's something that we have as a network that we really need to work and be a part of. And so anybody, please tune in and check it out on the website and try to help out with the archives, because that's our money. That's where it really is. You talk about an asset. That's our real asset, and it's a lot of history, and that we can be really proud of. I don't mean to report out esoteric fluff to you, but I just want you to be aware that it's important, and we need to try to, that's why we're here, fighting for the archives and a network, too. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Tracy.
Bunch of stuff. The affiliates program wanted to announce they're putting together a sort of a weekly Occupy Watch type program, which is really exciting. There's a very glossy affiliates report that I passed around that people can look at, but I would like a copy of it back. The Pacifica Archives came out with its first sort of for sale product, which is a collaboration with City Lights Bookstore about the voices of Black Power. That product is available, and hopefully we'll get some promotion on KPFA. Let's see. The Monday committee structure scenario is confusing, as I spent a year on the governance committee with people yelping at me that the PNB committees were too big. The fact that there's now a move to make them even bigger is a little bit disturbing. My guess is that sanity will prevail, and we'll go back to the way that it normally was, but that will probably take about 2 weeks to figure out. KPFK announced that they have fixed their transmitter problems on Mount Wilson, which is really exciting. They invested about $60,000 in a new dual transmitter system, so they will not go off the air, and they should be closer at operating to full power. They have the biggest NCE radio transmitter in the country. It's awesome. It is more than a third larger than KPFA's signal area. It's an extraordinary asset, and it's a good thing that they were able to invest in this transmitter, and that Pacifica made the effort to make it happen. That's on Mount Wilson. And KPFK is now the most profitable Pacifica station with the largest level of listener support and the biggest budget. WPFW in Washington thought it was going to have to move by the middle of this year, which was terrifying, because their building on Champlain Street was going to be torn down that they share with the Washington City paper. It looks now like they have a 6 to 9 month extension, which is wonderful because they have nowhere near the money that they need to move. It may go even into mid next year, which gives them a little bit of time to try to embark on a development effort. Unfortunately, they have a bit of a programmer mutiny going on because a lot of the people don't like the PD choice, and unfortunately they're expressing that by refusing to fundraise, which is a little bit counterproductive when their building is about to be smushed right out from under them. So we're hoping that dynamic will change a bit, since it doesn't seem particularly well taken. Dan is right about Spanish language protesting, Spanish language programming protesting. That was about 85% of the public comment. The motion was passed by Rodrigo Argueta, who is no longer on the board. He's the one who pushed it. It's for 5 hours a week of prime time programming in Spanish. And as we have all said, that would be a big transition for all of our stations to make. And it will probably take some time, but people are impatient. I'm going to report out a little differently than Dan because my understanding of what happened is not the same, and I did listen to the report out that was made on Monday out of closed session, so I'm pretty sure that I can say this. In fact, the evaluation of Ms. Engelhardt as ED is complete. It was approved by the board. Both Ms. Engelhardt and Ms. Williams were retained by the board until the conclusion of their contracts. Engelhardt is the end of this year, and Williams is the beginning of next year. The evaluation process is 100% complete for Ms. Engelhardt. It's partially complete for Ms. Williams, and that involves some language that still needs to be fine-tuned. The auditor's report was that we have made a 75% reduction or more in the size of our operating deficit. This is the whole network. KPFA, of course, went from $585,000 to $39,000, so even bigger. It would have been even larger, but unfortunately there was some accounting mishigas about the reporting of the sideband income in Houston. They made a deal with KTRU. It was over $100,000 in income there that had to be reclassified, which was kind of heartbreaking. So it came out of current income, had to go into deferred income because it's officially for next year, so they couldn't use it in their financial statement, which screwed things up. That said, it's a pretty amazing financial step on the road back to financial stability. Dan is right. The appeal will go forward on a vote of 10 to 6. We were advised the approximate cost will be about $2,125 total.
Can I ask Tracy that if you want to give us information that we haven't heard, that's fine.
Mm-hmm,
or
yeah.
If you have differences.
I am giving you information that you haven't heard.
We don't need stuff repeated mm-hmm. that we've already heard.
We extended several legal retainers. I'm just thinking if there's anything else. And I guess the only other thing is about the recall supervisor. We're now into one that was vetoed by recall proponents, one that was vetoed by recall.
Oh,
well, actually, one was vetoed by a New York rep. One was vetoed by a D.C. rep. So we are now looking for a third. I'm just telling you. Dan didn't say this. It's true. I was there, Pam.
And she was asked to vote on...
No, I didn't vote, Andrea, on any of it.
But she didn't vote on it, but she could say yes or no whether I want this person or not.
Okay.
That's correct.
Which is wrong.
I am a member of the board, so I participated in the discussion.
We're not going to discuss this. Tracy,
anyway, the wording is... So...
Please.
Two were proposed. One was vetoed by one side. One was vetoed on the other side. Poor Summer is now in search of a third. That's all I'm trying to say. And
I won't go there.
Okay.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
There was one part that was, and I don't think it was stated. The chair of the PNB was elected. Summer Reese is your chair again. Bill Crozier is the vice chair. Afia Wangaza is the recording secretary.
She's the secretary. The other guy.
Yeah, right. And then we have a recording secretary. So I want to let you know those officers have been elected, and so you'll know who to write to.
So someone asked me why a treasurer wasn't elected.
The treasurer is the chair of the National Finance Committee by default. We are going to appoint people to committees once we get through the committee.
Okay. Very good. All right. Good. So now I have a resolution which was sent to you all on email and was copies of which were left on the table, I think. Did they all get one? Everybody should have gotten one. It says resolution on Bernstein et al. Versus Pacifica. I don't think, Kate, I don't think they were put back there, but there should have been one on the table. Okay, everybody got it?
Yeah.
All right. If I can get a second to this resolution, I'd like to speak to it. Thank you. First of all, I want to make a correction. Andrea Turner's name should not appear in the first two whereases because she was never refused a seat on the PMB. That was my error. And Sasha Futron submitted an amendment, which I accept and which I want to read to you. It would go in as the final whereas. So after the whereas that starts, whereas to pursue, this one would say, whereas Pacifica's attorney gave a presentation to the PMB board members on January 27th, 2012, about their legal responsibility to put the foundation's interests before their own. This was also sent out on email, but I don't think you all have copies of it. So basically, it refers to a presentation which was made in public session by the attorney Andy Gold, who talked about the responsibility of board members. So now the resolution is before you, and the floor is open for debate. Anybody want to speak to this motion? Good. Then we'll come to a vote. Oh, Tracy, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, generally the protocol, just so you know, on the National Board of Directors and every other Board of Directors I've been on is that if a member of the board is a party to the suit, they don't vote. So we might want to consider that. Unfortunately, a lot of you are parties, so that may be a little dysfunctional, but that is the general protocol. And so it will impact the, the credibility of what you do if, in fact, all the plaintiffs vote.
Okay. Con.
What Tracy is referring to is conflict of interest, but conflict of interest has nothing to do with this at all. Conflict of interest refers to any kind of financial situation you may find yourself in favor of or disfavor of, et cetera. This is a straightforward First Amendment thing. Of course this board has a right to vote on this, and it's not protocol at all for a board to, or any members of a board, to recluse themselves from this vote. This is perfectly consistent with what boards are supposed to do.
Any further discussion? Dan and then Jack.
Yes, I have an interest in this matter. It's not a financial interest, so I don't have what is known in the law as a conflict of interest. But you know, my concern, because the outcome of this appeal will have no impact on who sits on this board or on the national board, is the waste of money, right? I mean, Pacifica is still in a very precarious financial situation. So we're continuing with a lawsuit because some members of the national board feel like they have to prove their point, right? And it's not a point about the welfare of the organization. It's a point about the strength of their own political convictions and their desire to punish or banish or exclude people they don't care for. But the concern is that it's also a breach of fiduciary duty. The fact that you may have a majority of the people voting on the national board on a given day doesn't make it appropriate, in light of your fiduciary duty, to utilize the organization's resources essentially to conduct what is now a spite suit and nothing more. It's a spite suit. It's like someone arguing with their neighbor about a branch from the neighbor's tree coming over the yard, over the fence into your yard. It's unclear how much money this has cost Pacifica so far. We, that is Bernstein et al. Of us, are asking Pacifica to pay our expenses for Superior Court, so I don't have to pay them. That's $13,000. If there's an appeal, it's going to cost more money. And again, if we win on appeal, which I assume that Bernstein and the rest of us will win on appeal, then Pacifica will not only have to pay its own lawyers and its own expenses, they'll have to pay ours as well, which just seems like a ridiculously dumb thing to do.
Jack. Thank you. Jack.
I won't add to it.
Okay.
Laura.
I just think the whole suit is ridiculous, but I'm not sure that all the members of the national board really understood that. I found out afterwards that some of them didn't understand some of the particulars of the suit. So maybe if we pass this, it might give me an opportunity to fill some people in, although you know, maybe their votes are changeable, but it at least seems that this is a really ridiculous decision to continue a suit that doesn't make any difference, won't make any difference in the real world. So it'd be nice to have another chance to bring that to the national board.
Okay, Tracy's asking to speak for a second time. Is there anyone on the board who has not spoken for the first time? Mal and Sasha.
The suit which was brought dealt with people's ability to sit on the Pacifica National Board for the term of the calendar year 2011. That term is now up. So in that sense, the court's order is no longer in effect. An appeal of it, therefore, is a complete waste of time and Pacifica's money.
That's right. It's moot. What? Sasha.
So I had a question, and then I wanted to make a comment. That was my understanding, and then something was said that made it sound like there was yet another suit. No. Okay. So it's the appeal we're talking about. And by the time the appeal comes up and something happens with that, we'll probably have a new board here as well. And because we'll have gone through the next election for LSBs, and there'll be yet again another PNB, et cetera. So, you know, I'd like people to stop and think about their discussions about unity and toxic environments and ask yourselves whether continuing this lawsuit is going to cost, it sounds like, Pacifica money. But even, say, the appeal were to go to the other way, it's going to be pointless, and it's just going to add to the lack of unity and the feuding and the bad feelings and the hostility and the division into two different sides in terms of how people feel emotionally, although it will really have no actual real impact on the PNB and who serves on it. Seems to me really crazy.
Matthew.
No, I just was wondering.
Use the mic.
I would like to hear Tracy's explanation for why she voted to continue the suit or why she supports that.
I think that's what she's going to do. Anybody else? You never can tell, but Tracy's next. Go ahead, Tracy.
I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble, Dan, but the suit is actually not about kicking you personally off the board. What the suit is about is the ability of Pacifica to interpret its own bylaws. That's what the legal issue is. We heard that in some depth from our corporate counsel. That's what the crux of the issue is. That's what the legal issue is. That's why the appeals court will entertain it. In terms of legal bills, guys, this will never add up to more than 2% of our legal bills. Focus on the other 98%. This is not what the problem is. We have not spent more than $1,000 on this suit. We will not spend more than $5,000 on this suit. It has nothing to do with the legal bills that are crippling this institution. Zippo, zero, nada, nilch. Mr. Siegel, with all due respect, there is no case for legal fees. Not going to happen. And frankly, the constant threats to this effect are really not helping the advocacy that you're trying to do on your own behalf. This is a decision of the national board, not of the local boards, and certainly not of the plaintiffs, who obviously would prefer that a verdict that they won not be appealed. In terms of why I voted yes, it is because the Pacifica bylaws were written to prevent political appointees from serving on the boards for extremely specific reasons, all of which we saw play out during Occupy Oakland. And it is, in fact, extremely important that we retain as a board the ability to define what our bylaws mean, what those words are, and how we are going to interpret them for the best interest of the foundation. If we give that up, we have given up the ability to keep this place safe from government attack. And I'm not willing to do that, and I would pay a lot more than $2,000 for that. That's why I voted yes, and the characterization of this is juvenile, frankly, and it needs to stop, because nobody cares about who sits where. What people care about is the principle. and it is silly to accuse them of anything else. In terms of it being...
Who's doing the time?
It's just one more sentence. It's just one more sentence.
Good. Give her one... Hold it. One more sentence.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
Give her
the point is, if it's moot, then what on earth are you? What on earth are these accusations about? It's obviously not about power. So
out of time.
A principle.
No more.
All right. Please.
Out of order.
Please. Okay. Okay. I now have two more people on the second round, and then we have to come to a vote because we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to call on Dan and then Matthew.
Okay. So just to try not to be vitriolic about this, right? The court will decide whether Pacifica has to pay our legal bills, not the board, right? And the board has been wrong before, right? Secondly, this vote, whether it was 9-6 or 10-6, was carried out after Andrea, Laura, and I were kicked out of the room, and we didn't know the vote was going to take place. But, you know, just on the merits, yes, Pacifica can interpret its own bylaws. That's really not what's at issue. The question is whether it can interpret them unreasonably. And the fact of the matter is, in this case, is that Judge Roche, who ruled in our favor, relied on two California Supreme Court decisions, which defined what is a political office or a political appointment, very clearly. But the capper was, is that previously, Pacifica's election supervisor, I think it was our first election supervisor, a man named Terry Boricius, was called upon to issue a decision about a candidate for, I don't know if it was LSB or PNB. And he adopted the language of the California Supreme Court. Now, it could have been a coincidence, or more likely, someone told him what the Supreme Court had said. So, you know, for Judge Roche, and I think for the Court of Appeal, the issue is going to be, can Pacifica change its interpretation of its bylaws on a case-by-case basis to achieve a desired impact? And, you know, if I were the judge, I would have looked at Boricius's interpretation as being the most important thing in the favor of Bernstein and the rest of us. The final thing I want to say is this. You know, my situation, I think it was an oddball situation, right? I mean, I said to the board, I said, you know, I could understand how people, all right, let me just 30 seconds. I could understand how people would say, you know, this looks like, smells like, tastes like a political appointment, right? So I said to the board, I said, I could see why you would think that. But after we go to court and win and have these Supreme Court decisions and have Boricius's interpretation, it's sort of like, okay, let's end this fight. And next, when's the next time you're going to have someone who is, you know, the mayor's lawyer but not a commissioner or holding some other traditional appointment? So the facts of this are so oddball that they're really never likely to come up again. So no precedent. Okay.
Matthew.
Of a Pacifica majority to determine to reread the bylaws. And with when you have a very divided Pacifica, what you have to watch out for is a particular majority that gets elected reinterpreting the bylaws to suit their needs. And that's what happened in this case. And we actually had to take them to, you know, before the court where we could get a reading that was objective. So it's, again, it's the right of the Pacifica National Board to interpret its bylaws realistically and practically.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, any more speakers on this matter? Did I recognize everybody who wants to talk on it? Good. Let's come to a vote. Secretary, call the roll. Oh, remind us what the resolution is. And I put in.
Do I have to read the whole thing?
Oh, good Lord. I guess so. Yes, for the record, you do.
Okay.
And I put in Sasha's.
It's right here. Okay, so here's the resolution on Bernstein et al. Versus Pacifica. Whereas at the January 2012 Pacifica National Board meeting, it was voted to appeal the decision of the Alameda County Superior Court, which permanently enjoined the Pacifica National Board from refusing to seat duly elected directors Dan Siegel and Laura Privis. And whereas the PNB's decision to refuse to seat Dan Siegel and Laura Privis was based on an election by the KPFA-LSB for directors to the PNB for the year January 2011 to December 2011. And whereas Dan Siegel and Laura Privis were reelected, Andrea Turner? Is that?
She belongs in there.
Whereas Dan Siegel, Laura Privis, and Andrea Turner were reelected to the PNB in January 2012 for the year ending December 2012 without objection. And whereas the PNB is in effect appealing a decision that is no longer relevant, and whereas to pursue this matter irresponsibly wastes listeners' money donated, serves only to further divide an already divided PNB, and diverts the PNB from its real and important business, and whereas Pacifica's attorney gave a presentation to PNB board members on January 27, 2012 about their legal responsibility to put the foundation's interests before their own, therefore be it resolved that the KPFA-LSB demands that the PNB rescind its decision to appeal Bernstein et al. Versus Pacifica and put this matter to rest once and for all. Okay, this is a roll call vote. And Agamir is not here, is that correct? Sharam has left. Bernstein?
Yes.
Bernstein, yes. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Futron?
Yes.
Futron, yes. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Nor? Nor passes. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg has left. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka abstains. Kate Tanaka?
Yes.
Kate Tanaka, yes. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
I pass.
Wilkinson, not voting or passing?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Withers?
Yes.
Withers, yes. And then coming back to Knorr? Knorr abstains. Okay, so that is 14 yes and 2 no.
Okay. We, yes, I think we're at a point where we should, and we, oh, it's not debatable. Okay, motion to, although I didn't recognize.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of adjourning at this time, please say yes. Opposed?
Abstain.
Jack.
Well, you guys